thing comes.
It took a milestone to put it together, but they seen it was the right thing to do, and maybe through many more hurricanes, we don't have to worry about the power lines falling in a marsh.
New research from LSU and the University of Florida compared shark attacks and the lunar phases, and there appears to be a connection. LSU Associate Professor Steve Midway says, however, he still advises against swimming in shark-infested waters, no matter what phase of the moon.
However, that effect could really be marginal compared to the number of people in the water or the time of day you're swimming or any of the other factors that we have much more confidence about being related to shark attacks.
More attacks tend to occur closer to a full moon. LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
This isn't a NASA flashback. It's the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.
Very good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. I'm Teddy Sliman, PGA golf professional and salesperson here at Kane Radio, the new Kane Radio AM, 1240 and now 107.5 FM. Glad you're here. What a beautiful day outside, a winter day, but turned out to be a gorgeous day for golfers on this Martin Luther King Day. So happy Martin Luther King Day, and hope you had a great day and played some golf. If you're a golfer out there, I know I passed by Eagle Ridge, and there were mid-morning, there were parking lot was quite full. Before we start talking too much golf, let's thank our sponsors. Coca-Cola Bottling Company, let's start out with them. Mr. Lee Tatford, he is the CEO of the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette. But don't fret, we get Coke here in Iberia Parish as well, thanks to Mr. Lee Tatford and Coca-Cola Company. Another one of our big sponsors is golfballs.com, right there on Arnold Boulevard in Lafayette. Wow, if you want something in golf, certainly you can get it from golfballs.com. They have everything you could possibly want in the world of golf. Hard goods, soft goods. If you want to try out some golf clubs and hit into their simulator, you can do that as well. All the new brands and new equipment that comes in. Golfballs.com, Arnold Boulevard, Lafayette. And, of course, our local golf clubs. Without them, like I always say, we never have any local golf news. So we want to patronize them as well. Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, and Bellevue, the little nine-hole course in Lafayette, in Franklin, rather, that is on our Pro-Am rotation. So let's start out with them. They had their monthly dog fight recently. Winner of that was Reggie Broussard, plus +5, Brad Rodrigue, plus +3, and J.D. Mayfield, plus +2. Thanks to Ty Burdett, the pro, for getting me that information. Of course, it's still wintertime, so not a lot of activities going on as far as tournaments. You know, you're doing a risky thing if you schedule tournaments during the winter because the weather is not very good usually. So most of the golf courses are spring and summer are the time for them to schedule golf tournaments. So we don't have a whole lot of local information, but, you know, the weather's been so nice over the course of this winter. It's been very dry, and that's a blessing for golfers. So what if it's a little cool? You know, it gets down in the 30s, the high 30s, but gets up into the 50s. So that's pretty pleasant weather. So I know all the golf courses have been busy over the last, you know, the holiday season as well as the beginning of January here. And Sugar Oaks is one of them. I started hitting golf balls again, so I've been out to Sugar Oaks a few times last week, and they were fairly busy the times I went out there. And, wow, their golf course is – and, of course, I've just been over the putting green in the practice range, but they're doing an awesome job out there, the crew. Mike Chauvin, Big Show, and his crew out there is doing a great job of getting that golf course in good shape. It's already in good shape, and – you know, the weather has a lot to do with that. So they had some advantageous weather to keep the course in good shape, and he's doing a great job with that. So if you're planning on going out to Sugar Oaks, and you should, take advantage of these weekly specials. On Mondays and Tuesdays, 9 or 18 holes is only $22. And that includes your cart, guys. So that's pretty awesome there. Wednesdays, all day long, no matter how many holes you play, only $31. Can't beat that with a stick. Let's see, Sugar Oaks, their latest shootout. They get good participation from their MGA members. They love to play in little tournaments, and the shootout is one of them on Sunday. They do front back in 18, so on the front there was a tie between Paul Lodesser, Bobby Broussard, and Ryan Hornsby. They were all plus one. On the backside, Scotty Hebert was a winner with a plus four, and then the overall winners was a tie as well. Plus two was Nicky Melanson, Bobby Broussard, and Scotty Hebert. But the fun thing and the more advantageous thing is the skins game where you win cashola. So they each put up, I don't know how much, maybe $5. And when you win a skin, you win that hole over the whole entire field, which I think was maybe 15 players. And so winning the most skins was Jimmy Rogers with five, or rather Ryan Hornsby with six, Jimmy Rogers with five, and they won most of the money. Robert Burton won three, and Tam Rosemont won one. And thanks to Robert Burton, he gets me this information by way of text pretty regularly, and I thank him for that. The latest golf news from the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks, 36 or so members. Boyd Booty is the president and chairman of that, and he's now working on the schedule for this year, as well as the end of the year awards, which goes to the players who won the most money during the course of the year. And I'm sure he'll get me that when it's available. But their most recent one was played at Coshatty Pines in Kinder back in December. And the winner of the first flight was Tyler Woodley. Second flight went to Tony Viator. And the senior flight went to Boyd himself, Boyd Booty, plus eight. Moving on to Cane Row, they had the Pro-Am this week. The big Acadiana Pro-Am drew 108 players. Nice job done by Doug Biard of taking over from Don DeCluid and running the Pro-Am Association. He's pretty punctual and transparent with his scoreboards as he posts them there. And so, God, the winner on the first place team. Whoa, man, they blew past the second-place team. So plus 10 was the winning team of Chris Viator, Barry Bolner, and Louis DeVilliers, along with Bo Provo. Plus 10, winning $125. Finishing a distant second with plus 3 was Steve Reagan, Ryan Biard, Barry Batiga, and Lyle Hargrave. Plus 3, they won $90. Third place team plus two was Jacob Freeu, Randy Willis, Tam Rosemont, and Chris Byod, winning $55. And of course, this money is redeemable at golfballs.com as they the title sponsor for the Pro-Am along with Community First Bank. And the low individual players, the A player was Chris Viator plus four, B player Willie Boyd plus six, C player Dan Hidalgo, plus four, and D player George Biard, plus nine. Pretty nice score there, Uncle George. The next Pro-Am is scheduled for in February, Southern Oaks. And you'll get to play 2 days, or your choice of 2 days, Tuesday or Thursday, I believe, at Southern Oaks in February. So maybe the first Tuesday and the first Thursday of the month of February you get to play, and hopefully the weather continues to be nice. So Cane Row has plans. They have a big schedule they gave me here. But a UL meet and greet with their new head football coach in Catholic High School right here in New Iberia alumni is Mike Desimo, as we all know. So on Thursday, April the 14th, they're going to have a meet and greet with him and maybe a golf tournament. More information I'll get on that as it gets to be finalized through the committee there. And then at Cane Row, their MGA, Men's Golf Association, got their initial meeting started and their formation and election. And they elected Raymond Bonnet as their, I'm sorry, Raymond Bernard as the president of Cane Row's MGA. And they plan on having meetings monthly on the first Thursday of the month. And then they have a schedule set for tournaments and activities going on at Cane Row. So the private fundraiser type tournaments or events are as follows. February 5th, Golf Week Super Bowl Scramble. And I'm not too much privy to who's sponsoring that and how you get into that tournament, but it's a scramble on Super Bowl Sunday. And then February 15th, the Ladies Golf Association right here in Acadiana has an outing. I think that's a Tuesday. Then February 26th, the Karen Crow Golf Association, Men's Golf Association, has a tournament at Cane Row. That, they're similar to the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks. And then the MGA schedule, they have tentatively set up a nice schedule for the season coming up. February 12th, they'll have a two-man scramble. Then April 2nd through 3rd, Jimmy Picard Memorial Tournament. It's a member guest. Then May 14th, a three-man scramble. All of this sponsored by the MGA. June 11th, the superintendents. I don't get the name of it. I'm going to have to find out more about this. It's, instead of superintendents, it's superintendents. And it's a revenge scramble. So I got a feeling that's something to do with the maintenance crew out there. And that's going to be on June 11th. And July 30th, MGA scramble. And August 21st, 20th and 21st is that club championship. All that coming up this season. Then at Cane Row, they got a few rules they set in place. No denim jeans, collared shirts, and no metal spikes. So if you're going to play out there, you need to treat the golf course with respect and obey those rules. And their golf specials, if you're not a member, weekday twilight special after two is only $30. Weekend special after two is $40. And then their senior 60-plus special is Tuesday and Thursday, $36. And, of course, if you're a member, for only $142 a month, you can be a member. Or if you want to pay by the year, you get a big discount of a couple of $100, $1,571 for the year. That's $1,571 if you pay up front. You can be a member at Cane Row and take advantage of these discounts. 20% off of all soft goods in that pro shop. 10% off of all hard goods, balls and gloves and what have you. And then you can book your tee time a week in advance, which non-members cannot do. And then, of course, they chart your handicap by the Louisiana Golf Association, the USGA handicap system, which you'll need if you're playing all these tournaments they have coming up. And also at Cane Row, get this. This is amazing to me. Ascension Episcopal School, formerly or more affectionately known as AES, they're going to have a qualifying to see who makes their golf team. That's how strong this golf team is. They're going to do that at Cane Row on Sunday the 23rd, this coming Sunday. That's pretty amazing that you have to have a qualifying at a high school. I've never seen that before, and I did some coaching myself for Catholic High for a number of years, and I always welcome the players. Sometimes we had 8, 10, 12 players on a team, you know. I didn't care how good or how bad they were. I love the competition among the team players, so I don't know why they're – maybe it's just they're qualifying for the first tournament and not necessarily to make the team, because they have a pretty strong team, as you'll see here. Two of their seniors have signed national letters of intent with Power Five schools. Jay Mendel, a senior, has signed with Auburn, and Cale Fontenot has signed with Georgia Tech to play golf for those Power Five teams next year. Pretty impressive stuff coming out of Acadiana. Then, speaking of college, UL, the Raging Cajuns, of course, they coach by my son, Theodore, and they'll start their event February 14th and 15th at Mobile Bay Intercollegiate, playing the Magnolia Grove Crossing Golf Tournament sponsored by UAB. But before that, and I got to pat Theodore on the back for doing this, they're going to have a retreat. A golf team retreat over a weekend at, I'm not sure exactly where, but it's going to be some secluded place on a lake, kind of like maybe Lake Fossey Point, or maybe over there in the on the west side of Louisiana. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the resort there, but they have some place set up where they're going to do some spiritual stuff and some mental stuff to help their mental game. And they're going to have people delivering speeches and talks and encouragement, and try to get these players mentally prepared for the golf season, because he has a ton of good players, and it's just a matter of them gelling together and playing together and working as a team. So we wish them the best of luck. Of course, we'll be following the Cajuns as the season goes on. Joe Davis, a former golf pro and friend of mine, who's now the manager of Home Furniture, has a brother who's also a friend of ours, Reagan Davis. And this local guy has been a PGA golf pro and moved around from Arizona, Wisconsin, Florida, Texas. Now he's stationed at the World Golf Hall of Fame right there in St. Augustine, Florida. He's in charge of the Nicklaus and Palmer courses. I think they have six courses there, but these two are kind of separated, and he's in charge of that. A buddy of mine, Jim Prazer, and I had a chance to go there three years ago, and we went through the Golf Hall of Fame, and it's pretty much amazing. It's for a golfer, it's a nice vacation, because you not only get to look at all the memorabilia through the course of the years, but get to play some championship golf courses. And I'm telling you, St. Augustine, one of the oldest cities, principalities in our country, is pretty amazing. A lot of history there. Okay, the Lafayette Men's Golf Association. Thanks, Lawson Ruley, the president of the Lafayette Senior Men's Golf Association, for getting me this information. You don't have to be a resident of Lafayette to be a member of this association. It's kind of like the Gator Golf Club and the Karen Co. Golf Club. It's $25 a year dues, and that includes a crawfish ball in the spring and the Christmas party in December. And they have a slew of tournaments, two a month. The first Tuesday of the month is their out-of-town tournament, and the last one played December 14th. Their road tournament was won by John Pierce. Second place went to Pat McBride, and third place, Louis Domingue. And then their fourth Tuesday of the month tournament is held at their home course, Hébert Municipal, right there in Lafayette. That was played December 28th, and it was a team event. The format was a two-man scramble. Steve Newman and Fred Altman shot 70. Second place went to Lawson Ruley and Brad Hammond, 72. And then a tie for third place, Louis Domingue and Connie Begno, tied Woody LeMaire and Eric Rosen. So good luck to the Lafayette Senior Men's Golf Association for the upcoming year. And the Gulf States PGA, which I'm a member of, retired, of course, but it's all the club pros and assistants from Louisiana and Mississippi. And Greg Sonnier, a former UL player and teammate with my son Theodore, played for UL back in the day. He's now the assistant pro, associate pro at Lake Charles Country Club. He won the Player of the Year honors. Congratulations, Greg Sonnier. And then Morgan Biard, a little closer to home even, the daughter of Doug Biard, who Doug is a former golf pro. He was at Squirrel Run back in the day. And friend of mine, competed a lot against each other together and with each other. His daughter, Morgan, has been working with the United States Golf Association for the past couple of years. And she's in the Department of Tournament Operations, which means she's making everything happen that the tournament goes smoothly, you know, these big tournaments. Last year, she worked the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines in California. This year, she is doing the Women's U.S. Open, which is going to be played at Pine Needles, North Carolina. That's right adjacent to Pinehurst, for you golfers that know about the big courses in our country. Pinehurst is one of them. So congratulations to Morgan, and good luck to her in her endeavors. In fact, Doug was telling me as I was talking to him on the phone that last year working the Torrey Pines U.S. Open tournament, on Thursday their concessions stands weren't enough to supply the demands of the patrons. So they had to open up a couple of other stands, and she was pressed into duty to run one of those stands, serving beer and soft drinks and stuff. So good job for Morgan. Seeing a local girl like that doing well in the golf business, in a different area of the golf business as well. All right, coming up in April is a pretty big tournament, I believe. It's called the Masters. biggest tournament in the world, really. Chairman Fred Ridley announced recently that Tom Watson will join Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player as honorary starters for the 2022 Masters. And it's the 86th running of that golf tournament. Thursday, April the 7th is the start date, the Thursday. Watson is the 1977 and 1981 Masters champion. He also has some records. His scoring average is 72.74, and he's the fifth time, he ranked fifth all time in that area. And then he's played in 42 straight starts in the Masters, and that's ranked fifth all time. And, of course, Tom is my age. In fact, he's a year older than me. His birthday is September 8th, and he'll be 73 years old. But he's mostly quit playing golf. He doesn't play on the senior tour or anything, but he got into what they call cutting. His wife, Linda, passed away, and she was big on riding horses. So in this equestrian, and I don't know too much about equestrian event, Western-style cutting. And he has won $28,000 in his aim. He's texted and contacted Hal Sutton, who was big into that. Hal Sutton has won $42,000, so Tom's trying to beat Hal Sutton's record in that. Kind of funny stuff. Let's see what else I got here. Oh, on the bit side. Today, by the way, is the anniversary of the PGA of America, the association that I'm a member of. We have 29,000 PGA club pros plus retired club pros in the different categories. And, of course, the PGA Tour is separate. They have members as well, but it's all under the umbrella of the PGA of America, which was started 104 or so years ago, in 1917 on this date, January 17th. And then that leads me into this with PGA doesn't give honorary memberships out too much, but they did to this guy. Tim Rutherford, he died. He's with age 66. He died of Alzheimer's disease. He was the first journalist to be awarded honorary membership into the PGA of America. And let me tell you, folks, you don't need to know anything about golf or sports or anything, but if you just listen, Google him, Tim Rutherford, and look up some of the testimonials that have been attributed to him, it's pretty astounding. So he wrote for the Palm Beach Post from 1987 to 1994. He wrote for Sports Illustrated, Golf World, and Golf Digest. And then most recently, he transitioned to TV at NBC and the Golf Channel. And, excuse me, he was the 12th person to be awarded the PGA honorary membership alongside several presidents of the United States, Ike Eisenhower and a couple others. And so that's pretty impressive. He's the first journalist, like I said, to be awarded this award. And the Honda Classic named their media tent, their media center, after him. So pretty important figure in the world of golf and in the media as well. And he will be sorely missed, as if you get a chance, look up some of those testimonies. All right, that'll do it for our local golf news, even though that's not really local, but it's something I wanted to pass across. So with that, we'll take a break, and then we'll be back in our second segment. My friend and colleague Ralph Boxcar Bajoran will be joining us for that. So stay tuned.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Tesh Matters, 10 to 1, on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane, 107.5.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me.
And welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Slimer with you here in the studios. And I think on the phone line is our friend and colleague, Ralph Boxcar Bergeron. So let's see if that's the case. Hello there.
Hey, Ted, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. Beautiful day, looks like, huh?
Yeah, it turned out, really nice. I mean, considering the chilly start we had today and definitely the cold weather yesterday, it turned out to be a nice afternoon. So hopefully a lot of the golf courses will open today. It's typically closed on Mondays because it was a holiday and open for some extra business. So even if players couldn't get out this morning, hopefully this afternoon they made it out to the golf course and got in their round.
That's it, man. So what's shaking?
Well, nothing. Had a great visit today with the grandkids. They just left a few minutes ago to head back to Alexandria. So that was always a fun time. Actually went there Saturday for my granddaughter's first birthday, but then they decided to come visit today because my mom couldn't go to the birthday party, so they came visit her. So that was really nice. And my little granddaughter actually today at my mom's house took the most steps she's taken. She's taken one or two at a time, but she actually walked from the sofa to the chair, like probably 12 steps on her own today. So that was pretty cool to kind of witness that happen. And it's amazing how they grow up before your eyes and how it just happens so fast.
Boy, you're not kidding there. Take advantage of it while you can. You're blessed that they came down here, and your mommy is as well. So that's a big treat for sure.
Oh, no, it was definitely, like I said, I have a great couple of great kids, great, the grandkids, and they're just so caring about, but anyway, that's a whole different subject, but they go out their way to try to make sure that everybody gets to see the kids and whatnot. So it's very, very blessed and very good day, very good weekend. And, and I guess I owe you $5 too. Geez.
Why is that?
That's why I didn't really come in. Huh?
Why is that?
Because
Hideki, yeah, yeah. So yeah. Now we're turning our attention to golf. Oh, okay, I get it.
That's really why I didn't come in. I didn't want to sit down because I don't have $5 on. So,
poor box score. So that was a Sony tournament in Hawaii. That was the last tournament in Hawaii. Now they come to the States. So let's talk about that tournament if he won it.
Yeah, I didn't watch a whole lot of it. I was really kind of keeping up with it. Unlike Kapalua, which I watched a lot of, I really only caught a couple of things. But I was more following the social media junk that was happening between Kevin Na and Grayson Murray. And it was, I'm telling you, this whole I don't know what to believe anymore. There's a part of me that thinks professional golf is now turning, and I really mean this, into professional wrestling because it is PIP. the notoriety of social media. Because Grayson Murray, I forgot he had even won a PGA tournament to begin with, but he did, and then he got suspended from the tour for alcohol stuff, and he went to rehab, and apparently he must be on the sauce again because he texted out, you know, some stuff. Somebody else had texted, or not texted, but Twitter, tweeted, whatever you call it, tweeted. It never gets old watching Kevin Na walk in a putt. And then Grayson Murray responded, what does get old is watching him take 2 minutes to line up the putt. And then from there, it just exploded. And Kevin Na responded to Grayson Murray. And something about it must get old not playing on weekends. And, you know, just went. And then the other PGA professionals, including Colt Knost, came to Kevin Na's defense, and then a couple others kind of took Grayson Murray's side, and it really got ugly. And even Grayson Murray even brought up the point, I forgot about that, when Brooks Koepka, when he was paired with Kevin Na, and I think it was in the U.S., I don't remember for sure, but I thought it was a major, but on the second hole of the tournament, you know, he knew it was going to be, you know, a grind and a long day. So he went to the porta potty and stayed in there for 15 minutes. He wasn't even using the bathroom at that point. He just wanted them to get put on the clock. And they did after the second hole, because that's how slow Kevin Na is. And he has that reputation on tour, you know. So,
right.
And look, he's playing well, and he kind of has a guy that's resurrected his career. But, I want to talk about that after, is really, you know, where does the PGA Tour have to start drawing the line with slow play and the enforcement thereof? But in the meantime, but before we get to that, I don't want to take away from the incredible, you know, finish to this tournament and what, I mean, when you look back on the shots of the year, 2022, and we very well may have seen it happen in the second tournament of the year with that ripped three wood that he didn't even see it because he hit it dead into the sun, and I think he had 270 something to the hole, and on the final hole it ends up hitting the three wood to 24 inches and makes an eagle. So yeah, 277 out. I mean, can you imagine that? What a shot! And now Hideki Matsuyama said he has won for the eighth time on the PGA Tour, including a major. And he's, you know, he's not even 30 yet either. So I think he really flies under the radar when you talk about the young, you know, superstars.
Absolutely. And what was amazing? I didn't watch the tournament either, but I read a little bit about it. He was five down at the turn as Russell Henley, the eventual runner-up who he beat in the playoff, shot 29 on the front nine and looked like he was going to cruise in, and he stumbled. He didn't make a birdie on the last, 10 holes, and, finished second. But, no, like you said, that's his eighth career win for Hideki Matsuyama. He's only 29 with a 63-63 weekend. And that ties him with KJ Choi, a guy we got to see in New Orleans that time, remember, most for an Asian. So we think this is good for golf for sure.
Yeah, and while I apparently is very kind to the people from that continent, because that's the same tournament where Asai Aoki, and I remember that shot. That's when I really started getting into golf, and I'd watch every tournament, the whole tournament on weekends. They didn't show the first two rounds. Back then, you just had five channels or whatever.
Right.
But I remember when Asai Aoki pulled out from 110 yards to defeat Jack runner in regulation on that closing hole. And I remember that shot like yesterday. You know, it's amazing. But it goes to show you, you know, the difference that, you know, now a guy can, from 277 back in whatever year that was, 1980, whatever, you know, there's no way that, you know, there's no way they were going to hit a three wood. Maybe, you know, maybe Jack could have, but...
And it's amazing you're saying that right now, because Jack Nicklaus has come out with his... And he's done this for quite a few years now. He wants to roll back how far the golf ball will travel. And he's done that again this week. And just as a side note, Jack turns 82 this coming Saturday. So he's still relevant in golf. People still listen to him, and the PGA and the R... The PGA and the USGA and the RNA are going to at least look into rolling back the golf ball. What are your feelings on that? I don't know. Personally, I think they ought to just let it go. I think the fans love to see the big ball hit, and no matter what score they shoot, it's okay.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Ted. I mean, and it's at the point, you know, what I would have liked to have seen at some point, but I mean, now, you know, you're way beyond the point of Phil's turn now with endorsements and the money and all that. But I would have liked to have seen a professional golf ball and, you know, the amateur golf ball is wide open, but the professional golf ball, not necessarily limiting it per se, but having one. And I know this, you know, you can't have them in off. I get it. But everybody would be playing sideless pro V1, or everybody would be playing whatever the ball is. I go back to the fact that, you know, every other sport that I can think of, it seems like the ball's uniform. You know, it's right. The same, and these balls aren't. You know, I mean, there are some manufacturers where the ball does go further. There's others it does spin more. You know, and again, it's up to the guys that want to sign the contract with those companies and what they're comfortable playing. But no, I mean, I don't want to see, I don't want to see Bryson DeChambeau get up, rip a driver, and it goes 250, you know.
No.
And, you know, whoever's, you know, one of the shorter hitters on tour gets up and hits a 240, you know, says, yeah, I get what they're trying to do, but again, as I've said time and time again, we see constantly when they play tournaments at majors and on some of the old classic courses, the length makes a difference, it does, but you still have 6,900 and 7,000-yard courses that can hold the test of time, depending on the size of the greens, the severity of the slopes, the amount of rough, you know, the placement of the bunkers. I mean, there's just a lot that goes into it in golf course architecture. But what they're doing now, they're building these 700-800-yard golf courses, but they're wide open. And there's, you know, the greens are huge, and you don't have those old Donald Ross greens that are, you know, turtle back that they don't, you know, if you miss it, you're shot by a couple of feet, you're going to be off the green, you know, and that they don't do that anymore. So to me, that's where the emphasis needs to be on is in golf course architect and design, and not trying to roll back distance. I mean, it's just a testament. And look, you can draw a parallel to any other sport. You know, they hit the ball further in baseball. They definitely run faster in football. I mean, you know, back in the day, I mean, really, seriously, an offensive lineman back in the 50s and 60s weighed about 230 pounds and, you know, and would run a 5.40. Now they weigh 320 and can run a 4.740. Mm-hmm. You know, that's they've just evolved as humans and athletes, and the golfers have done the same thing, and they generate just a lot more club head speed, and the equipment's gotten much better, as you know. The ball's definitely got better, you know, more consistent. And, hey, let's just enjoy it. You know, like I said, it's not going to be every week that it's going to be 29 under and, you know, 34 under winning tournaments. We'll see when they get back to the mainland. We'll see some tough tests again and
sure.
In the meantime, enjoy for what it is.
Yeah, no, I mean, last week, Kapalua, nobody cares that the top three players broke the record. You know, I mean, it's the same course, and you get to compare it to what Jack Nicklaus did. We all know the equipment and all that stuff has made, you know, those scores more available and, you know, accessible. And I think the scores are going to be low this whole entire year. But, you know, it's fun to watch. People are interested in seeing the big ball.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it goes really beyond. I think that there's a lot of things. And if you look at the average scoring, if you look at the scoring averages over the years, you'd really be surprised at how little difference there is. We see these astronomical numbers, you know, being posted in tournament records and whatnot. But as a whole for the tour, if you look at it, it's probably a stroke and a half. And I guarantee you, to a man, you could ask the old players and you know, what's the biggest difference? I don't think they would say it's the golf ball or a lot. It's course conditions, and you know that as well as anybody.
Yeah.
When you played on the tour. I mean, the greens now that they play on are perfect.
Perfect,
you know,
right?
There's no excuse for missing a putt. Whereas back in the day, you had some. You know, you had some imperfections. I mean, the greens weren't always like that. The fairways weren't always velvety smooth and perfect lies. And, you know, I think golf course management has just gotten better, at least on the PGA Tour. I'm not going to make a blanket statement and say everywhere, because obviously with the rising cost of maintaining a golf course, you know, there are some courses that have had to cut back in certain areas. But on the PGA Tour, it's immaculate, you know.
No question.
And so I think that.
And look, on the flip side, box score, you know, look, Jim Furyk, one of the oldest player ever at 51, and he's one of the shortest hitters on the PGA Tour. He's now a senior player as well, 51 years old shot. He became the oldest player ever to shoot 62 or better in a tournament. Now, he faded after that, but still, I mean, you know, golf's a game where it's not just, you know, the long ball that wins golf tournaments, as, you know, Bryson DeChambeau shows, you know.
Yeah, I know people, you know, like to think that, but again, when you look at it, it's really the guys who can kind of combine. Yeah, I mean, it's great to have adequate or even above average, yeah. But when you can combine that with, you know, good iron play along with good putting, I mean, that's you got to have, you know, complete package. I mean, it's rare now that you can just have, you know, back in the day, you'd have a guy, you know, Ben Crenshaw could win a tournament because he was just so much better of a putter than anybody else at that time. Ben Crenshaw was never a really good ball striker.
Never,
you know?
No.
He wasn't long. He was, but he could outputt everybody by miles, you know. But now, most of these guys on tour, not all of them, but a lot of them are good putters as well, and much better ball, you know, ball strikers than in general. So yeah, I mean, it's just an evolution of. And people, you know, have to just. I don't think you need to fight it. I think you just need to enjoy.
Well, I agree 100% with you. If it's not broke, don't try to fix it. You know, and golf's growing. It's popular, and let those guys hit it. And you know, so what if they? Now, I'm against building big golf courses to accommodate them, because that cost is astronomical to keep up a large golf course, you know, with the greens and the tees and the fairways, the chemicals and all. So let's keep it small, you know, and let them shoot way under. I don't care.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And there's a huge difference, you know, between a 7,800-yard course from the tips and a 7,000-yard, you know, course as far as You know, that's a whole extra, really two holes you have to maintain on a daily basis.
You're right, people, exactly.
People around here that, you know, we're used to seeing, you know, your greens might get cut, you know, I mean, every other day or every 3 days, whatever, you know. But I mean, they don't realize on these, you know, the maintenance that goes into preparing these courses for the on the tour and how much they cost. And of course, I mean, as soon as the tour moves out, I mean, most of these are very exclusive courses. Very, you know, you have a couple public, high-end public courses in there, but most of them are very exclusive courses. So their members have a standard also that they expect week in and week out. And that's why I always think the most underappreciated, and I always say this, if you ever, you know, get to run into your superintendent, and it's not going to be often because they're out there at 4 in the morning, you know, and they may be gone by the time you tee off. But if you happen to see them, you know, buy them a beer or Coke or whatever, and thank them for the job they do, because, you know, that has to be the most underappreciated job in golf, because all you hear, you know, when something's not perfect, you have a little poano or something comes out, boy, they're going to hear the complaining, you know. But when the greens are really good and the courses are really nice, they just don't get the compliments like they should.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it'd be nice if they worked behind the counter, because it's the golf pro that hears all the complaints, you know. And basically, he probably had nothing to do with it.
I was steady in the short period of time, the 6 months I worked in, you know, at the Wetlands. That was the main thing that I hated about the job was it's just you just never hear anybody. I'm like, is anybody happy to be out here? You know, it's all you hear is complaining. You know, and even if the greens are good, the mosquitoes are too bad. Well, I don't think we control the mosquitoes. You know, I mean, you know. out of water on you. Well, we have 8 water coolers on the golf course. Out of one hole, you know, it's like, you know, and it was, yeah.
I like that statement. Is anybody happy out here? That's a good one. That's a good one, Boxer. I like that.
I'm serious.
Yeah, is anybody happy?
I'm not.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you would think, and these are people that played every day, and they just, you know, it just never
just
didn't see him smile. I don't know, but anyway.
All right, so what else is going on?
Yeah, man, I've been trying to find it, and I just cannot. But
why don't we take a break? We got to clear a break, and then maybe you can find it. And you know,
I looked all over, but they had a. But anyway, we'll talk about it after.
Yeah, let's clear a break, and then we'll be back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots with Boxcore and Teddy.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club.
Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Cane 107.5.
And welcome back to Chip Shot. Steady Slimer with you here in the studios, and our friend and colleague Ralph Boxcore Bergeron on the telephone. Hello there. Did you find
Dad? Unfortunately, I was no. I mean, I found what I found the name of the event I was looking for, and maybe you even announced in the first half. I couldn't listen, but I cannot find the results page. It was on my Facebook feed this morning, and it went away. But they had the Hub City Classic, U.S. AAA, or U.S.S.A. Golf tournament at the Wetlands this past weekend.
Oh, okay.
And I was just amazed, and I didn't know how old this kid was, because the article didn't say, but he had to be in the older group, which I think is 15 to 18, but only one player broke par, Connor Edney, and he shot Saturday, if you remember, or was it? It was either Saturday or Sunday he shot this round. But anyway, the temperature was near freezing. The winds were 30 miles an hour, and this kid shoots 70, 200 par, and he won by, I think, 8 shots or whatever. Which I was just kind of wondering if you had...
No, I didn't get those results, and
whether or not that's a guy. I don't even know. I know he's a local guy, or I think he's from Crowley around there. I just didn't know if maybe he was a guy that was being recruited or not, or what his resume looked like, you know. But, I mean, that's a pretty big event. The USSSA event in general, the bigger one sponsored by Mizuno. But anyway, I just kind of wanted to mention that. But I think that's a phenomenal round of golf in that kind of weather. You know,
certainly,
sure.
Certainly, absolutely. It's talking about youngsters. I read this guy named, and I'm gonna mispronounce his name because he's from Australia, but Katakan Chattatarangara or whatever. He's a 14-year-old kid, and he was looking to be the first player to win a pro event at 14 years old that has world ranking points. But he failed on the last nine, and he finished third in the Singapore International on the Asian Tour. 14 years old. He got a long, long name, you know, one of those names you can't pronounce. But
yeah.
Young golfers more and more so are learning to play the game at the highest level, like this kid you're mentioning, as well as this guy here from Australia. I mean, it's incredible how these youngsters are learning the game in the mental part of the game as well.
Yeah, I know. You know, it used to be, we kind of talked about the concern that if you took a phenom and kind of threw him out there with the wolves, you know, that it could really scar him for life. But by the same token, and again, I'm horrible at names, but if you remember that, you know, who's that young kid that he was the only one to ever get a penalty at the Masters for slow
play? Oh, yeah,
play.
Cheng Wong.
He was
Chinese, from China.
Yeah, he was like 14 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah, 14 or 15, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so he's playing at the Masters, you know what I mean, and was playing pretty well, and ends up getting a slow play penalty, which, you know, again, just blew my mind, because they never do that. And that's what I wanted to talk about. I mean, at what point is the tour going to ever actually enforce their three-minute rule between, you know, shots or the searching for balls or... I mean, it just gets
I don't think they will ever do it, to tell you the truth. I just think it's a scare tactic, and that rule is kind of like not really in place. But, you know, if they did it, it would open up such a big can of worms that every player would probably protest. That's my feelings. But if it's really, really bad, then they need to do something, you know. But as long as it's marginal, they're not going to do anything.
No, but I go back to when you see a group that has a whole open hole ahead of them, you know, and unless they had some weird ruling that they have to wait on or whatever, but if it's just a couple of slow players paired together and they're that far behind, I mean, it's like, you know, the shot clock going down in basketball or the play clock going down in football expires and you don't throw a flag. I mean, I think it's just a bad look for the game to see these rounds taking, you know, 5 hours on average on the PGA Tour.
Most of these players know that, you know, if you think long, you think wrong. They know that. So they know that they need to make a decision and be committed to it and go with it. But yet, you know, there's a few out there that like to deliberate and cause the whole rest of the field problems. So, I don't know.
Well, that's the whole thing. It only takes, you know, in a field of 144 or whatever, 72 on the weekend or 60 on the weekend, it only takes two or three players that are really, really slow to screw up everybody. Because, you know, depending on where those guys are at in the field, but they're in the middle of the field and you're behind them, then things start backing up. And now everybody, you know, at a playing at a slow place because I just think everybody knows who the slow people are, and the tour officials know it as well. And I just think there needs to be some repercussions, you know, at some point, you know, and a progressive thing, you know, a warning. Yeah, maybe you get, you know, a warning first and then maybe a second warning. Third time you penalize a shot, fourth time, two, whatever. I mean, but I think ultimately, it trickles down to the amateur game as well, and these young kids that want to be tour pros and emulate everything they do, then they're going through all the same pre-shot, you know, stuff that the slow players do, and it's just to me, it's just painful to watch sometimes. You know, I don't know. I go back. A lot of people didn't like Lanny Watkins, but boy, you know, I sure did, because I mean. I don't think anybody ever played fast.
He'd grip it and rip it. He was like, he was from the John Daly school, grip it and rip it. Well, look, we got to shut it down. We're up against the hour, and appreciate you calling in, and hope to see you sometime down the road soon enough and maybe tee it up or something.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Give me a call tomorrow. Give me a call tomorrow. We can catch up on what's going on, man.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for calling in. Ralph Boxcar Bergeron, my colleague. And look, we got Louisiana Network News coming up next, so y'all stay tuned.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tash.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. A Dr. Martin Luther King exhibit is traveling this month and next through the University of Louisiana System campuses. Today, the Carrying On the Dream exhibit is at Louisiana Tech in Ruston. LaTeX spokesperson Tanya Oak Smith says if you aren't able to make it to LaTeX campus,
then it will be traveling to Northwestern State University and be there through February 5th. And then it'll go to McNeese, and then after that it'll go to ULL.
Smith says it's appropriate for all ages. Governor John Bel Edwards sent his message to Louisiana in honor of the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s national holiday this morning. The governor focused his words on continuing the fight for equality, specifically within our criminal justice system.
The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Change takes a long time, but it does happen. I pray that as we reflect on his words and his life, we understand that action is required to make that change happen.
LouisianaRadioNetwork.com.
Hello, this is Rosie the Skunk for Atmos Energy. You might think I make a bad smell. I mean, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? After all, I'm a skunk. But my stinky fragrance is nothing compared to the rotten egg smell of a gas leak, because that could be dangerous. So if you think you smell a leak or encounter other signs such as hearing a hissing or blowing sound or seeing a vapor cloud, blowing dirt or bubbling water, do not smoke, talk on the phone, turn on or off equipment or vehicles, or do anything that could cause a spark. Leave the area immediately. Then call 911 and Atmos Energy. Atmos Energy will send a trained technician to investigate the situation. Take it from a skunk. Gas leaks just plain stink. Seriously, there's no gray area here. When dealing with gas leaks, it's black and white. Yep, that's a little skunk humor there. For more information, visit atmosenergy.com/gassafety.
Power has finally been restored to the coastal town of Grand Isle. Mayor David Camerdale says after Ida made landfall, state agencies and Entergy worked together to put most of the power infrastructure underground, which could have a huge impact when the next hurricane comes.
It took a milestone to put it together, but they seen it was the right thing to do, and maybe through many more hurricanes, we don't have to worry about the power lines falling in a marsh.
New research from LSU and the University